can open your Bibles to Deuteronomy in the first chapter. I have an exciting word from God today. A word that is changing my life and I believe will change yours. It happened a few days ago as I, like many of you, were thinking, pondering, praying about the new year. And, you know, I'm over all the resolutions. I don't even bother anymore. But I was thinking along the lines, Lord, is it possible that this year could be different than all the others? What is the potential that this year could be a standout year? And I discovered something in Scripture that jumped into my spirit. I told the church staff one morning this past week, early in the week, I said, I have a revelation. I have it in my gut. It's burning in my belly. And they were wanting to know what it was. And I said, I don't even have words. I'm believing God for the words to deliver this baby. And I hope by Sunday morning God will give me the words. I've got it. I fully understand it. It's inside the core of who I am. But getting it out is the challenge. Well, I'm believing that the Lord will give me the words today. And I believe I can show you from the Word of God that His will for your life is that this year be so different and by far so much better in every way than any year we've had before. Anybody interested? Okay, good then. Now give me a few minutes before I give it to you. It's in here. I've got to get it out. Now when you get it, you will know it. But give me a few minutes to lay some groundwork. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 6, we read these words. The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Now, wait a minute. Let's stop there just for a minute. Hearing God speak and say to us, you've been where you are long enough. Don't stay here anymore. I have more for you. You'll never receive it if you stay here. Now, they had been 40 years in the wilderness at that point. They were on the verge of stepping into the promise of God. Have you ever had the feeling, those of you who are of a certain age, that for the past 40 years, it really just seems like one year is almost like the previous year, and nothing really happens, no supernatural catalyst occurs to lift us up from where we've been for so long to an entirely new dimension? It's easy to think that way. One year ends and another begins, and there are a few days of a flickering hope that maybe this year will be our year, a banner year. But then, just a few days into the year, we realize, oh, well, this one is just like the last one, and that one was like the one before it. On and on and on it goes. And after 40 years like that, God's people heard him speak and say, it's going to be different next year. You've been here 40 years. You've camped out at this mountain long enough. And then Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, the Lord God has multiplied you. One translation says, the Lord God has increased you. Another translation says, your God has blessed you, and here you are today, blessed, multiplied, and increased. Now let's stop right there long enough, and I still have it in here. I've not delivered yet. But let's stop here long enough to let that sink in. Let's absorb the beauty of the truth we're reading right here. Here we are today, a blessed people. Even right now, where we are and where we've been, God has been good to us. We are blessed and not cursed. We are so very blessed here and now today. And yet, many of God's people, instead of behaving like we are so very blessed where we are today, we do the opposite. We complain and we grumble. We're so blessed, and yet it's easy to think and behave like we're cursed instead of blessed. That was the problem God's people had when they had camped out at that mountain for so long. You are blessed this morning. Here and now, today, already, you're so very blessed. God has been so good to me. Occasionally I tell Him, God, if you never do another thing for me, if I never see your hand move again at all, if I never see another miracle in my life, I've seen enough already to forever believe you. So very blessed here and now today. Before we move on in to the greater blessing for the year, and I have it to deliver, let's appreciate how blessed we are here and now today. If you woke up this morning with more health in your body than sickness working against your body, you are more blessed than the millions of people who will not live to see the end of this week. If you went to bed last night without the pangs of starvation, you're more blessed than billions of people around the world this morning. If you came to church this morning to worship God, and you came here without fear of being arrested or imprisoned or tortured, you're more blessed than 2 billion people on the planet today. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a bed to sleep in, you are richer than 75% of the world's population. If you have money in the bank, a little cash in your wallet, and spare change in a dish somewhere in your house, you're among the top 8% of the world's wealthy people. Here and now, today, if we go no further in the blessings of God, we are already so very blessed. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 8 says it like this: the Lord has blessed you these 40 years your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. For 40 years, God's people wandered around the wilderness, and He fed them 3 square meals every day. They didn't even have to work for it, just get up and go outside and get it. They didn't get sick. Their shoes never wore out with as much walking as they did. Their eyesight never got dim. The only problem with any of those people for 40 years were the grumblers and the complainers. But the big picture is God met every need they had. Don't you know? In fact, we have scripture where they did. They complained. I don't know why our leader ever took us out of Egypt. Were there no more graves in Egypt where we could be buried when we die? And, well, you're on the way to the promise of God. Hang in there. Well, I'd rather be back in Egypt. At least they fed us fish. Don't you know somebody in that crowd after 40 years said, God, my need is not met. I'm sick and tired of this limited menu. I'd like a more diverse diet. I don't like manna all the time. But God said, you have lacked nothing. You may think you're going through something that's worth a grumble or worth a complaint. The Lord is saying to you today, You have lacked nothing. That's how blessed you are already. Can you name one thing in your life God has not gotten you through? No. We are here today, so very blessed here and now today. Not one thing has God failed to get us through. A special young man in this church, Pastor Stephen Lurie's son, Grayson, as all of us know, 4 years ago, suffered a horrible motorcycle accident, changed his life. And I remember writing a card to him a while back just to encourage him. And for the first time ever, I made this statement to him. And when I made it for Grayson, it was like, oh, that's for more than just Grayson. He's just the model. He's just the one we're trying it out on, and it's proving to be true. But I wrote in a card to Grayson, in spite of the challenges he's facing in life, I wrote these words: you will never have a need that God will not meet. Is that not good news? Even on your worst day, you will never have a need God will not meet. Now, we're still camping right now. I've not delivered yet. My favorite. What was that? What? Push. Oh. I usually work alone, but I like that. I'm going to push in a minute. My favorite verse of Scripture, Psalm 68:19, said, "Blessed be the Lord who loads me down every day with many benefits." Oh, when I discovered that verse, I said, that's my favorite for life. Blessed be the Lord who loads me down every day. I'm loaded every day with the many benefits of salvation. And if you're a child of God, so are you. Don't lose sight of the truth. You have lacked nothing. You're loaded down every day with the many blessings and benefits of God. And of course, we're familiar with that verse of Scripture, Philippians 4:19. The New Testament says it like this: "My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches." Supply all. The word supply in the Greek means to liberally furnish that which is missing. Every time a need shows up on the horizon, the full supply of God hits our life liberally. He furnishes, He supplies. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 28, those of us who've been around the Word any at all love the revelation in that chapter. It tells us just how blessed we are if we will hear and obey the voice of the Lord. It says stuff like this: well, you're blessed in the city. Oh, you're blessed in the country too. You're blessed when you get up in the morning, and you're blessed when you lay down at night. That word promises that we are so blessed, we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're so blessed that when an enemy comes in against us from one direction, he scatters away from us in seven different directions. We're so blessed, not only us, but it's generational blessing. Our children and their children will be blessed. And even our cats and dogs, our cattle and livestock are going to be blessed in the covenant we have with God. We're blessed coming and we're blessed going. That's what the Bible says. We are already so very blessed, and we've had the revelation all along that one of the names of our God is El Shaddai, which means He's the God who supplies more than enough. We've already known that. So right where we are here today, we're already so very blessed. But God is not through blessing you. God has a way of blessing us that He's not even told us about yet. And I believe this just might be the year I discovered this verse in Scripture. I'm going to give it to you now. I'm pushing and about to deliver. But before I do, let me say one more thing. In order to receive this revelation, and in order to go into this new year, and it's still a new year, believing God that it's going to be by far so much better, so much greater, like an entirely different level, a higher dimension altogether of quality of life than we've ever known in any year up to this point, you got to do something with your mind. And the Lord's dealt with me on this too. The mind is a gift from God. The mind can serve the people of God very well. The mind can be so creative. The mind can pick up on one idea that falls out of the window of heaven and stumbles into our life. And the mind can take that and, married to the Spirit, can go to work being very creative in changing our life. The mind can serve us well, but the mind can also limit us. The mind can restrict us. The mind can confine us. We have to change our mind if we're going to go into the full blessing God has for us this year. And the question is, are you ready to blow the lid off of your mind? All right, I'm about to deliver right now. And then I'm done. I'm going to deliver and leave. Point one, God said, you've been here where you are long enough. Point two, don't overlook the fact that already, right here and now today, you're so very blessed. And then here's point three and the revelation. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 11. And may the Lord, the God of your ancestors, multiply you 1,000 times more and bless you as He has promised. 1,000 times more. Now, wait, that blows it out of the park, because I'm familiar and I've been used to it all my life. Well, if God's the highest blessing of God, the highest you can get, the most blessed you can get in God is the 30, 60, and 100-fold. 100, that's the best, 100. I've been used to that. I have embraced the fact that I'm 100 times more blessed. Because, I mean, T.D. Jakes said it best. Having Jesus as my Lord has benefited me in every area of my life. I have profited in every area of life knowing Jesus as my Lord. Now, I grew up hearing a strong word preached, and I'm familiar with the 100-fold blessing, but I've limited, my mind has limited me. I've been thinking, well, that's as good as it gets. 100-fold can't get any better than that. The Mennonites are a wonderful, devout group of people, and some of you may have a background in Mennonites. Is that you, Miles? You got a Mennonite background? You do, Miles and Patty. Wonderful, devout people. They had a devotional booklet a while back that was published by the Mennonite people, and it brought out the fact that they can plant one bushel of corn, and from that one bushel planted, they harvest 500 bushels. right there, I thought, my, that's better than 100. That's 500 to 1. From 1 to 500? I mean, let's take the limits off God. Let's change our mind and lift our eyes up further than we ever have. Let's see further. Let's see more. Let's see better and bigger and greater than we've ever seen before. We've got the Word here. I've been used to the 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing. I've claimed that and walked in that for many, many years. But now to think God's not limited to that and I can be 1,000 times more blessed in this new year. I'm walking it out 1,000 times more blessed. 1,000 times better in quality and quantity of life. Now, it's going to require a paradigm shift. And I don't really like to use that phrase anymore because it was so overdone a few years ago when it became a corporate new phrase of the year. Even businesses jumped on it, a paradigm shift. It does happen occasionally, not a daily thing, but a paradigm shift is a shift that occurs in culture that brings a revolution, a fundamental change in concept. I'll give you a few examples as I was thinking about it. A paradigm shift. How can we go from where we are, and we've enjoyed the 100-fold, but how can we take the leap from the 100-fold blessing, and we are already so very blessed, 100-fold right here, already so very blessed here and now today. We've never lacked anything. But to go from there to 1,000 times more blessed, it will require a shift in our thinking. Back in the day, ancient days, even though some of you, my daddy's dad, no doubt, and his generation, the way they would plow a field is a mule and one plow with maybe two blades. A mule plowing a field. But then, when the modern tractor was invented, running on a gasoline or a diesel engine, instead of one mule with two little blades that could plow maybe a half an acre a day, a farmer now, in one day, with this new equipment, could easily plow 25 acres in a day. It was a paradigm shift. And then the assembly line that was invented. I think Henry Ford, who invented the car that we all love, the Ford, also invented the assembly line. That revolutionized product assembly. I mean, it was a paradigm shift. We couldn't go back to the old way of doing things after this new was introduced. And then the way people used to travel was so limited. You either had to walk on your two legs or ride an ox or a horse or a bicycle eventually when the wheel was invented. That was another paradigm shift. Wasn't the wheel a wonderful invention? And now we think nothing. When we need to go to the other side of the world, we get on an airplane and in a matter of hours, we're as far as we can go. A paradigm shift. I don't want to go back to the mule and the buggy or the ox, dear Lord. My great, 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 great grandmother, one of those, received a telegram during the Civil War back in the 1860s that simply said, "Your husband has died on the battlefield. Please come and get him." And she, by herself, with an ox and an ox cart, rode to Charleston and brought her dead husband back and buried him. I don't want to go back to what they called the good old days. Hey, those may be the good old days, but I prefer the better new days. And especially this year with 1,000 times the blessing, I'm going to stay with the new days. When I was a boy, this is a funny little story. We would ride in the car, my mom and dad, we three children in the back seat. We were like doorsteps. I was like 8, Deborah's like 5, Mike was like 3, and in the back seat, no seat belts in the car. Boy, we're so blessed already today. But my daddy had the habit of turning on the radio. Deborah will remember this. And it was AM. I know half of the people in here don't even know what AM is. You've never heard. AM was awful to listen to, but we didn't know it. We had nothing to compare it to. So what we had at the time was great because we had nothing better to compare it to. So my daddy had the habit of, he would turn that radio dial. He would go from one end to the other of the AM radio dial, and he would settle on the station with the most static. Just because, here was the deal to him, it was the farthest away. He would say, this radio station right here, this is in Cincinnati. And here we are riding around in Florence, but we're listening to a station. But so much static, okay, that was AM radio. Some of you don't even know. But now, then FM was invented. Now, I was a young boy or a young man when the first FM radio station came on the air in Florence. And I remembered FM. The first day I heard it, it was stereo without any static. And I thought, I am never going to listen to AM. You can keep your AM radio with all that static. Now it's FM, no static at all. It was wonderful. Well, that was great, but it didn't stop there. Now we have satellite radio. That's really good. No commercials at all. You got hundreds of choices. You can do talk. You can do music of any genre. I mean, and no commercials. I don't know when the last time I've heard a commercial. I don't listen to them on the radio. I don't watch them on TV. I don't even know what's new out there in commercials. But now we have satellite radio where you can listen to your favorite channel anywhere in the country. You can drive from California to South Carolina and not get a dead spot. You're always under the satellite beam without any commercials. And then I read in the news this past week that Norway, the nation of Norway, is the first nation, they just did it this past week, to stop all FM radio broadcast. It's old. Satellite's new. Satellite's better. So nowhere in Norway now can you listen to FM radio. It's all satellite. These are the better new days. The good old days weren't all that good. These are better new days. And then when you think about it, the library really is, I haven't been in a long time. I know there must still be a need. They're still building $25 million libraries. So I would think maybe there's got to be a reason, but used to when you needed some information, I mean, even just how to cook a pound cake or what the name of the second czar of Russia was, and especially doing papers for school or college. I mean, you had to go to the library and you had to go over to the little catalog, the Dewey Decimal thing, and find a card and see, okay, where's that book? I need that book. Then you go to the shelf where the book's supposed to be, and it may not be there. Somebody might have misplaced it, and you got a million books in there, and it may not be where it, or somebody's checked it out and hadn't brought it back yet. And so what am I going to do? Well, now you just pick up your phone, and any information you need, you can find. It's in the palm of your hand right now. Any information you need. And you can find it by punching in one or two key search words, and there it is right in the palm of your hands without having to go to the library. This modern computer age, the technology that we have today, has given us words and phrases we've never had before. We've never needed them before, like the World Wide Web, information superhighway, and words that we never had. Internet, Google, Yahoo, texting, hashtag, and even some of the words that we've had all of our life have a new meaning now, like cloud. Some of you older people, when you hear somebody talking about the cloud. It's not talking about that white fluffy thing floating in the sky above your head anymore. The word safari, the word apple, which is a brand, even a simple little word like mouse has a different meaning now because of the high speed advancement in computer technology that is a blessing to our lives. All of those things brought paradigm shift. We just think totally different than we ever did before. I remember a paradigm shift for our church many years ago. I was in Russia in a crusade there, and I came back home, and Brenda picked me up at the airport, and she had a tape queued up in the car. She said, while you were gone, Billy Godwin preached on a Sunday. He was from Atlanta, Georgia, and was a guest speaker on occasion. She said he gave the church a prophecy, and I thought you'd be interested to hear it. So I brought it so you could hear it as soon as you get back. And she pressed play, and Billy Godwin, back when we were on House Springs Road down the street here in that smaller place, when we knew that's all God had for us. Maybe God's good already, right? If we never left there, God was good. We were blessed down there. We didn't know God had all this for us. But Billy Godwin prophesied down there, and I heard him say it. He said, God's getting ready to bless this church financially. And he said, I don't mean a little bit. He said, it's going to be an overwhelming financial blessing for this church. God has a blessing in mind for this church financially, and other people are going to be amazed at how God has blessed this church financially. It's going to be a lot, he said. Well, I tried to believe it. I mean, you know, we try our best to believe something good. So work with me this morning, people. Try your best to believe something good. I've got good news this morning. Try your best to believe it. It will require a change of mind, taking the limits off. It will require a paradigm shift. You're going to have to believe far more than you've ever believed. You're going to have to trust God 1,000 times more in order to get the blessing that's 1,000 times more. And sure enough, just a few months after Billy Godwin spoke that word, the Walmart miracle started happening. And if you don't know about that, I won't take the time to tell you, but we did own that property down there, and we had just bought it. And as soon as we bought it with a plan to start building 5 years later, Walmart offered us 4 times what we had just paid for it. So we sold it. And then I thought, the next time, listen here, the next time anybody gives us a real good word from God, let's believe it. Yeah. Let's try to believe it. And here's your next chance right now in real time. I'm giving you a real good word that as blessed as you are already and you have lacked nothing, God wants you to be 1,000 times more blessed in the days to come. Now, I'm not trying to sell a book. I'm not even going to buy this book. It's out now. It's a brand new book. Probably a bestseller already. It's written by Megyn Kelly, and she was the news anchor on Fox News. I think now she's just gone with CBS or NBC. She was the one that Donald Trump had a problem with it, one of the debates, and she's just written a book, and I'm not going to read the book. I don't need to know anything in that book. I'm not trying to get you to go out and buy the book. Sometimes all I need out of a book is the title. Just the title is all I need sometimes. And she's just written a book. It's autobiographical. She's telling her story, her life story. But the title of her book, and I love it, is called Settle for More. Is that not great? I mean, we should not have a mindset this year to settle for less or to settle for the same old thing. After all these years of staying where we are, God says, you've camped out at this mountain long enough, it's time to make a move and go on into the promised land. And so I'm headed that way. All right, now listen, when it comes to the blessing, even the way we measure and the way we count is so limited. Now, we have an accountant here, so I got to be careful. I'm sure he knows this. But the way we measure and the way we count is so limited. We're going to have to change that too. For instance, well, we know what 1,000 is. And 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000. We know what that is. And 1,000 times 1,000,000 is 1,000,000,000. And we know what that is. And 1,000 times 1,000,000,000 is 1,000,000,000,000. And we know what that is. But do you know what comes after 1,000,000,000,000? The way we measure and the way we count is so limited. What comes after 1,000,000,000,000 is 1,000,000,000,000. Now, we haven't heard about that, have we? Why? Because the way we measure and the way we count is so limited. Now, we got it to 1,000 and 1,000,000,000 and 1,000,000,000 and 1,000,000,000,000. If it's like, oh, there's a lid right there. Oh, we can't get any more than that. Oh, nope, nope, nope. Yeah, there's something after that. You just ain't never heard of it before. It's called 1,000,000,000,000. And 1,000 times 1,000,000,000,000. It's already got a name. We just don't use it. We're going to have to start using language we've never used before. After 1,000,000,000,000, 1,000 times more is 1,000,000,000,000. And 1,000 times more than that, I mean, they've got them right on up. They've got them on up to 300 zeros already named. Well, we the people of God have got to change the way we measure. And the way we count, we've got to be open to 1,000 times more. It reminds me of my wife, Brenda, who does FaceTime, as I enjoy, with our grandchildren, all of whom are in Texas. And FaceTime is so wonderful, by the way, especially if you have grandchildren living far off. It's like we'll FaceTime and we'll hang up from FaceTime where we can see them and they can see us. And I tell Brenda, isn't modern technology almost wonderful? If we could just get our hands on them. But Hollister, our oldest grand, he's 10. And even at age 10, he's a young man and growing up. But even at age 10, I'll hear him and Nanny on FaceTime. And Hollister will say, Nanny, I love you more than you love me. No, I love you more, Hollister. And then they get into, I love you 1,000,000,000 times 1,000 times 1,000,000,000 times 1,000,000,000,000 times and then Hollister gets into this. I love you infinity times infinity times infinity times infinity times infinity. You know what I'm thinking? There really is no limit to that. It is absolutely unlimited. There is no cap to it. And that's really the way the blessing of the Lord is. 1,000 times more. Now, I'm not talking about greed. If you're greedy and if you think this is about money, I'm sorry. Now, if you don't have all you need, God wants to supply that need. So it can work for finances too, but oh, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about 1,000 times more peace in your life this year. 1,000 times more? What about 1,000 times more direction for your life? More focus with greater clarity. Where you go from here moving forward? 1,000 times clearer direction for your future? What about 1,000 times greater productivity with your life? What if instead of being frustrated and inefficient in so many responsibilities, you streamline this year and you become 1,000 times more efficient and a lot less frustrated with the way you get things done? What about 1,000 times better health for your body? What about 1,000 times more wisdom than you have? Hey, that one's easy. It's in the Word too. Cash in on it. If any of you lack wisdom, all you got to do is ask, and God will liberally give you wisdom. 1,000 times more. I've met a few people who need 1,000 times more. But I'm first in line. I need it more than anybody else. Maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the year for that 1,000 times more blessing. What about more joy in your life? 1,000 times more joy. That belongs to whoever's clapping. Who's clapping right there? It's yours, sister. That 1,000 times blessing for joy coming to your house this year. You claimed it right there. It's yours. What about this? 1,000 times more of the favor of God for your life. 1,000 times more. I won't stop there. 1,000 times more of the favor of man on your life. Well, that happened to the Lord Jesus. As he grew and increased in wisdom, he also increased in the favor of God and with the favor of man. So it could happen this year in your life. What about 1,000 times greater influence for your life over those who are watching you and following you? What about this? 1,000 times more capability to trust God. Wow. How different would your life be if we could tap into that? What about 1,000 times more revelation from God's Word? Wouldn't that work fine at your house? What about this? 1,000 times more understanding. Oh, God, give me everything I need, but with everything you give me, dear Lord, give me understanding. Some people mess up so badly simply because they don't have understanding. One of the great verses in the Bible that's obscure, and most people never stumble over it. It's in the Old Testament, and it refers to the sons of Issachar. And it says, the sons of Issachar had understanding of the times, and because they did, they knew what Israel ought to do. So I'll take 1,000 times more understanding, spiritual knowledge and understanding. What about unity in your marriage or with your relationships, your children, your siblings? What about 1,000 times greater relationship at the house? More harmony. Wouldn't that be nice? And what about freedom and liberty? Oh, Lord, give me 1,000 times more freedom and flexibility. Now, hey, don't be greedy. God has 1,000 times more for you. And he's going to give it to you, and he's not even going to be depleted when he gives it to you. But it's not about greed. It's not to lavish on ourselves. It's to be better able to serve him and the kingdom of God. 1,000 times more. I want to end with this verse of Scripture. It's Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And we read it many times. In fact, sometimes it's the benediction for our service. Put it up on the screen. I want everybody to read it with me. Read this out loud. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Exceedingly abundantly above all. Exceedingly abundantly above all. In the last many years, I've been able to think and ask for a lot, and I've never lacked a thing. God has always met my needs. Now, have I been disappointed? Yeah, temporarily. Have I been thrown a curveball and even said, God, where are you? And all of, yeah, I have. I'm human. This is the real world. This is life. Have I suffered some losses along the way? Oh, yeah, very real ones. Have I run into times when I was confused and did not know why God did not answer a prayer the way I wanted Him to answer it? Yes, I have. But in spite of it all, I can stand here today and say, you know, I have no complaints to file with God. When I failed to understand all He was doing, my trust in Him picked up and carried me the rest of the way. And I have been so blessed. I have seen so many things that I have thought about and asked Him for come to pass in my life. But today, I'm pressing in to 1,000 times more that God has for me. And He is the God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I have ever asked or thought. And I'm ready. I believe this is going to be a great year for this church. I believe it's going to be a great year for you. It's going to be a year when we shift our thinking from the way we've always been. This can be the year when we are catapulted into an entirely higher dimension that we didn't even know existed. Going from the old, the way it's always been, to 1,000 times more blessing. I'm ready for that. Are you ready for that? Stand with me if you will.